Hey, Pittsburgh. There are some incredibly creative people around our city, and we're here to meet them, learn what they do, and how they create. I'm Alan Fear, and this is the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. And welcome back to the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. I am Alan Fear, your host, and today we have a very special guest, Mike Bozzelli. Did I pronounce the last name right?
Was perfect. We should have covered that, but yes. Yeah, Italian, a lot of people say it's Bozzelli, and I was like, no, we say Bozzelli like it's a bumblebee.
You got to get the T in there, Bozzelli.
Yeah, we don't do the, we just go Z's.
Gotcha. So for our listeners who might not be familiar with your work or what you do, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am an author and stand-up comedian. I've written two books. I say two and a half because I have written a book called Below Average Genius. I've written another book called All I Want for Christmas. And then I have a short story in a book called Winter Break. So those are my three published works. I've also done stand-up comedy around Pittsburgh and Los Angeles and parts of the country. I'm back here living in Pittsburgh. And I also write a column for the Observer Reporter, which is a humor column that comes out bi-weekly in the Observer Reporter in Washington, PA.
Yeah. What does your creative process look like? I mean, I guess there's a lot of different things to break down with as far as process in terms of, like, I guess, is writing the same as stand-up?
It all starts out with the writing.
Yeah.
Because if the writing is strong, the stand-up will be strong. The stand-up is the immediate gratification of my work.
Yeah.
You know, when I send something to an agent or a publisher, it might take months for them to get back to me. But when I'm on stage, I'm like, oh, this is working? That's not working. I know right away.
Now, in terms of that instant feedback, is it more like a feedback loop where, like, do you actually, like, manipulate your material
a
little bit?
Yeah, you change. Yeah, you, when something goes thud three times, you're like, we're not used to saying that anymore.
It's kind of funny because, like, I think we had talked about this a second before we started recording, but, like, I'm a percussionist and I do play a little bit of jazz and stuff, and there's that level of, like, what's prepared and what's rehearsed, and, like, how do you actually adapt to the people you're playing with, or in your case, the audience. Is that a point for you that's like, do you feel anxiety about that? Or is it something that just, like, comes natural? Is it through practice? Like, that seems to me like it'd be very difficult to, like, get on the, you know.
Well, with stand-up, it's funny. For me, it's the more people, the less nervous I am.
Yeah.
Because when you have, like, three or four people in an audience, they don't want to laugh.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to be the first one to laugh. But if you're playing for 200 to 300 people, they're all there. They want to be, and something will strike them, and boom, they'll go off.
Yeah, I guess there's a certain amount of, like, safety in numbers, too, from the audience perspective, because you don't want to be that first one clapping, and it's like, oh.
Yes.
That's always that awkward moment. That. Yeah?
I had a woman in a small audience one time. I told a joke, and she quickly covered her mouth, and I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? She's like, I don't want to laugh. And I'm like, do you know where you are?
Right, right.
Because it was just a few people. She just didn't feel comfortable being the first person to laugh. So it's funny.
For the material, both in you know, your published work and your comedic ventures, you know, what's the spark of an idea? Like, where does that come from?
Well, that's a really good question. The spark of it is just observing human nature and people's reaction. I do a lot of observational stuff.
Yeah.
I also like to listen to people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to people, you'll hear them. Each person constructs sentences their own unique way. And I'm fascinated by that. I like my characters to sound as different as they can from each other. I like listening to people. I like hanging out and just hearing different conversations and then just spinning things that happen to you in your daily life. And the trick with comedy and in the writing, and like I said, it started with the writing,
yeah,
is that you can spin something in a positive way. I always say it's not very much fun to call up AAA and say, I have a flat tire.
Right.
But it's more fun to call up AAA and say, hey, I have three perfectly good working tires right now. Observing those bad things that happen and putting your own spin on them really changes my attitude. And I find that, like, when writing, most of your characters in novels, bad things are happening to them, and it's how they deal with it
right.
to get through. Even if to them it's life and death, even if it's a date for a prom,
right.
that character, it's life and death to them.
That conflict is where you learn about the characters and
yes, exactly.
you kind of attach to them. One thing that's always kind of fascinated me is that some people thrive in that like instant feedback environment where it's like you can work snappily mm-hmm. and it's like you kind of, I'm sure there's almost, and I don't know what the academic term is for it, but an almost an intuition in terms of your performance of like, oh, I got to adapt here and do this. Do you prefer that over like having more time, I guess, once you're writing, when you're actually writing things down to go through that like kind of self-editorial process?
The writing gives me a chance to get it as right as I can.
Yeah.
The best way I can tell that story.
Uh-huh.
On stage, I might not use the right word or change it a bit or forget something or drop something and come back to it.
Yeah.
But when I'm writing, it's in the exact order that I want it to be. And as you know, most of writing is rewriting.
Yeah, yeah.
I spend most of my time not coming up with something, but revising it and fixing it and changing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It almost seems like it gives you a chance to have clearer intent as
yes.
to what you're writing. Yeah.
That is the perfect term for it. This is the story that got into Reader's Digest, so I'm going to yeah. tell that story.
Yeah.
I went to the dentist, and the dentist was, I had a tooth that was coming out.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it was already out. It was a part of a crown that came out or something. And he's making casual conversation while he's busying around. And he said, what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm a stand-up comedian. And then he doesn't say anything. He starts doing what he's doing. And then he goes, let's get an impression. And I went, I don't really do impressions. And he's like, of your tooth. So I just wrote that. I just right. wrote it as it happened. I went to the grocery store. And I had a coupon for yogurt, Oikos cherry yogurt. And there was a wall. There's a wall of yogurt now when you go in the store. There's
right.
like a giant wall. And I'm looking up and down, up and down. And finally I say to the guy, is this all of your yogurt? And he goes, yeah, that's all of the yogurt. And I hand him a coupon and say, I'm looking for this one. He goes, oh, that's on a special display back there. I was like, well, then that's not all of your yogurt.
Right.
And just the frustration of that struck me as really funny.
Yeah.
When I left, going, well, that I don't have to be mad about that. I can turn that into something funny.
When you have these experiences, or you observe something, and you're like, "That's just hilarious." How do you organize your thoughts? Do you, like, I know a lot of people now pull out the iPhone and they have their voice memos or they write it down. Is there some way that you like kind of keep track of your thoughts?
I do. I've done the iPhone thing. I've done the handwritten notes. I have a notebook in the car just in case. But most of the time, I set aside a certain time every day to write. There's a book by Julia Cameron. I don't know if you know it, The Artist's Way.
No.
She does something called the morning pages, where she writes 3 pages in the morning. It's almost meditation. She just writes whatever's on her mind. It can start out with, I don't want to do this today. This is dumb. Why am I even doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns into something by the time you get to the third page.
Yeah.
My thoughts aren't very organized. It's all cluttered up there. My brain should be on hoarders.
Sometimes that's where you get the most out of it, though, because there's so much information in there that you can kind of like parse through, you know?
I think that's the key to writing, is you're writing down like things that'll stick in my head. I remember one time I was like in Venice Beach walking along, and these skateboarders skated up near me, teenagers, and one said, "Are you thirsty?" And the other one said, "I could drink like a gang of water right now." Well, it struck me as such an interesting way to describe, and I pictured this dude in front of like four or five water bottles just drinking a gang of water. And it just struck me as a really great image. So it just stuck in my head. I haven't used it yet, but I keep thinking someday I'm going to write some, I'm going to have a teenager say, "I need a gang of water," you know?
Yeah. So how do you stay re-energized? Like, what do you do personally? I mean, we talked a little bit about like you do, you write every, take a chance to write every day. Is there anything else like habits that you have?
Yeah. Walking is like my meditational time.
Yeah.
And I like to swim. I'll do that. That'll get me, like, I have a bathing suit in the car throughout summer. It's my emergency bathing suit. A bathing suit and a towel in the car at all times, just in case. I also find, for a lot of authors, I would love to tell them a trick I have when I'm stuck. When I am stuck, I like to go back and revise. I also like to leave notes. And I've had somebody just tell me recently, they don't write the whole, like they'll get to a stopping point, but they'll stop before they're completely finished so that they have something to go back. And then he said, and you're like, oh, well now you have, you go back next time you're there sitting in that chair, you can go, oh, I have to put in what he said because that's where I left off. Another trick too, though, is to, you say you're writing a novel and you get blocked. Another thing I like to do is write a character sketch, something that might not be in the book, but you want to learn about this guy that's in chapter four, you know, and then maybe that character comes back a couple of times or not, depending on what you've written. You've written a background information about that person.
So we talked a little bit about your creative process and some of your inspirations. What are some things that you could recommend to a person who wants to get in to either comedy or writing? What are some ways that you can start on that pathway besides just having a passion?
Well, it's interesting. I fell into comedy. I had moved to Los Angeles to become a screenwriter because the writing was always my passion. So I moved there and I had a friend that read one of my screenplays and she thought it was hilarious. And she said, "Well, just pitch it to me." And I tried to pitch it to her. And she said, "I read this thing. It's way funnier than what you just told me. You need a pitch class." Well, I looked online and pitch classes were $1,000. Mm-hmm. But there was a comedy class for $300. Frugality got me into comedy.
There you go.
Because I figured you'd learn the same thing. I learned how to tell the story in the funny way.
Right.
And so I took the class, and then the class ended with a performance on the Sunset Strip at the Comedy Store.
Yeah. World famous, by the way.
The world famous comedy store. That's how they even promote it.
Right.
So I did my performance, and then people had seen me there, and this woman, Belinda, was like, worked there, and she was like, "Come back." And I just kept going back, and I sort of became a comedian through that. But writing has always been my real passion. Mm-hmm. And what I would tell other people, though, about writing, it's funny. I know a lot of actors that take writing classes.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of writers that take acting classes.
Yeah.
And when you hear the words out loud, it's very interesting. Plus, it's a great way. If you have a short play or a piece that you, or a sketch or something, and you want people to read it, make actor friends. That's the best way is to go to acting class.
Right. Use your buddies.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So I would always recommend that to somebody starting out, a writer, to do something outside of their box. Even if it's dance lessons, if their character dances, you know, I took a tarot reading class once because I was working on a script where it was going to be metaphysical and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so yeah. I took a class on tarot reading just to find out, just to make sure that I wasn't doing anything wrong when I was like, person was flipping the cards.
Right. Yeah. Did you read anybody's fortunes?
No, I can't. I can't do it at all.
So is there anything about Pittsburgh that specifically inspires you, being from here?
I love the people here. And you talk about people having unique forms of speaking.
Communication. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's funny. Out in L.A., you would say, oh, I'm doing a show on Wednesday night. Come out.
Right.
And people say, yeah, I'll definitely be there. And no one would show up.
No one shows up here.
In Pittsburgh, you say, I'll definitely be there. You're there. You're a half an hour early.
Mm-hmm. And your aunts and your cousins and their friends.
They're all
and
there. There. Exactly.
Yeah. So what are some current things that you have going on? What are you working on right now?
Right. I have two books going on right now.
Two books. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's another way to get around that writer's block.
Yeah.
Is have more than one project open at a time, especially if nobody's waiting for one of them.
Yeah, right.
Because then you can just work on it when you feel like it. One book is complete and I'm spending time shopping it around.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and that's called Why I Hate My Friends. It's another romantic comedy about the friends getting involved. They don't like the new person, and they get involved in trying to change the situation. And then I'm working on a book called And Jill Came Tumbling After, which is about a young woman who gets in an accident and is rescued by a guy. And she starts to have romantic feelings for the guy. And she's not sure if they're real or if it's because he rescued her. Like a white knight syndrome sort of thing.
Interesting. Do you have any shows coming up?
I do. I do this thing every month at the Carnegie Coffee House. Carnegie Coffee Company in Carnegie. It's the old post office down there.
Huh.
I have that. I just did something at the Brillo Box. I have a few things in the works, but I'm going out to Anaheim in July to teach a course on comedy writing for romance writers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, at the Romance Writers of America convention is happening in Anaheim, and I have a course on rom-coms, which I'll teach in teach people how to tell the joke and how to get at the humor in their story.
What are some parting words of advice or some parting thoughts that you might have for up-and-coming creators or anyone who is interested in a pursuit such as writing or comedy?
It's funny, as somebody that's going to work at a convention next month, I would advise them to go out and go to the connections. You make connections with other writers. There's an organization here in Pittsburgh, well, in Pennsylvania called Pen Writers.
Uh-huh.
It's a great organization where you meet other local authors, and they have writing circles. They have little critique groups you can join. I think that's a great way to get your work in front of other, get your work in front of your peers and get them, see how your work is going.
Yeah, just to get that extra feedback.
Yeah, and once again, I still want to recommend a writing class, an improv class, an art class, anything that will get them out of their headspace so they have something regular, structured thing to go to that will help their creative juices flowing.
That's awesome. So how can we keep up with you?
I'm everywhere.
Everywhere.
I'm
all
like
at once.
MasterCard. Everywhere you want to be. No. Facebook is the best, Instagram, Amazon. That was my favorite place to go see me is good on Amazon.com. Look up Mike Bozzelli. I'm there. My book's Below Average Genius, All I Want for Christmas, and that short story went in the book Winter Break. There is a bio page, author bio page on Instagram. That's a easy place to find me in local comedy clubs around Pittsburgh.
That's a great place to end our conversation, and please come out and make sure you check out Mike. And thank you so much for being with us today. It was an absolute pleasure and an absolutely great conversation. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
The Pittsburgh Creators Podcast is supported by the Pittsburgh Creators Project. You can learn more at www.pittsburghcreators.org. If you know a creator we should speak to, let us know by contacting us through our website. The podcast is produced and theme composed by Robert Traw. Thanks to Red Cayman Studios here in Pittsburgh. All episodes were recorded and edited at Red Cayman. I'm Alan Fear, and this is the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. We'll see you next time.